What is prayer? We got to the end of James here. That last, we're finally here. So what is prayer? My brother-in-law is 81 years old, and he received a Google thingy for Christmas from his son. It's what you get for that person who has everything. So if you're wondering what to get for your grandfather or dad, maybe get one of these Google thingies. Anyways, he's having a blast with it. I thought, oh no, technology, you know, we've tried a smartphone with him last year and it just didn't work, so I'm thinking, this is, you know. But he's having a blast with it. He's asking it questions and he's getting all kinds of answers and he's asking it to play music from his teen years. I mean, it's quite funny. I help him set it up and I use. He doesn't have a smartphone, so how do you set up a Google thingy, a Google Play? So I use my phone to do it all, and it Google hooks into what's called Google Play, which has all kinds of music, and you can play Christian music through it, which is really neat, because that's what we do at home. We cast it to our TV, and we listen to all these contemporary Christian songs, and it's just wonderful to fill your house. So I got them all set up, and then a couple days later, I was using my Google Play, and I was listening to music and doing stuff around the house, cleaning up. I was washing floors. That's what it was. Yeah. That's... Thank you. Anyways, it's great to work listening to Christian music. That's not in my notes either. That was... And all of a sudden, the music starts playing this country stuff from... what's one of his favorite? Slim Whitman. I'm going... What? Oh, it's gone rogue, and I get my phone out, and I change it back, and I thought, what's going on here? And I change it back to Christian music, and plays a couple more songs, and then all of a sudden, this guy in the old, you know, there's a picture of this cowboy guy playing guitar, and I thought, what is going on here? And then it dawned on me, that's my brother-in-law. He's, hey, Google, play Slim Whitman. Well, it would change, but it's on my Google Play, so it's playing in my house. And I thought... Maybe I can, you know, just fill his house with Christian music all the time now. I haven't done that. So we use Eileen's phone now to do Google Play. So, yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny. So, anyway, so I thought, I'm going to ask Google, hey, Google, what is prayer? And this is what she said. Prayer is a noun, for those who like grammar. It's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. Religious service, an earnest hope or wish. Wikipedia says that prayer is an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship, typically a deity, through deliberate communication. Billy Graham's ministry says that prayer is a spiritual communication between humans and God. A two-way relationship in which humans should not only talk to God, Lord, I need that Cadillac, you know, that kind of thing, not only talk to God, but also listen to Him. Prayer to God is like a child's conversation with her or his father. And it's natural to ask your father for the things you need. Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew 6 says that we are to pray to our Father in heaven, as we prayed this morning, the Lord's Prayer. So prayer for the believer, the follower of Jesus, is about conversing, talking, and listening to God, our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to be starting a series on prayer, and we're going to be looking at different prayers in the Old and New Testaments and learning about how different biblical characters prayed to God. There's an excellent book on prayer, a classic by Richard Foster, and it's called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. So if you feel compelled to read up on prayer, you can get this book or come every Sunday for the next couple months and listen, take notes, and learn. Carol is getting the book right after this, so if you want it, you have to talk to Carol and get it from her. So, and these last few verses of James that Ed read to us this morning, they're all about prayer. Prayer in different circumstances and for different reasons. James 5:12, we start there, is James says, "Above all, my brothers," which should be understood as "finally." Finally, and that's just James's way of saying his letter is about to conclude. And this will be the last sermon on James as well. And can I get three cheers? You know, it's, yeah, that's the word of God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, finally. James has been hard, though, eh? We've been learning a lot. It's causing us to be very practical in a walk with him and with one another. And yeah, because we're all going through stuff, eh? So he says here, in this verse, James is restating what his brother Jesus, his teaching, Jesus is teaching on oaths. James is not talking about cussing, that kind of swearing. People rarely signed written contracts back in those days. And so they swore by, and whatever they swore by, it bound them to keep their word. So there were many, many loopholes back then as well to get out of those kind of swearing by this and that. And they were easy to weasel out of those kind of things. So Jesus comes along, and in Matthew 5:34, he says, talking about oaths, and you can read about it there in that chapter. And his teaching, he's basically saying, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Simple as that. It's about maintaining, excuse me, it's about maintaining a high standard of truth, excuse me, in our speech. And when we do that, we avoid the judgment of condemnation. And I think that's pretty good advice for today's social media-saturated culture. Where were we? Yeah, James, verse 12. Maintaining a high standard of truth in all speech. Verse 13, though, he says, is anyone in trouble? Anyone in distress? Anyone suffering misfortune? What should he do? He should pray. Yeah. Are you suffering? Last week, Bob was talking about suffering in his sermon. James, if you remember, he in verse way back in chapter 1, he talked about if you're suffering, what to do. Life, and including the Christian life, is one in which we experience trouble. Trouble. Oh, the song just can bridge over troubled water. Anyways, because of this trouble, we may be tempted to call into question the goodness of God and the goodness of our fellow human beings. So what does James says we should do instead? Instead of all of that, he says, yeah, we should pray. Rather than get angry or depressed or stoic, he says to pray. It's a response that allows us to be active and positive, and it keeps us in communication with God our Father. Prayer does not always remove the cause of the trouble. Ah, get rid of my father-in-law. You know, prayer doesn't always remove. It's okay, he's in. Well, I don't know where he is. I hope he's in heaven. Yeah. So, prayer doesn't always remove the cause. He was an okay guy. I mean, yeah. I got to go for counseling. Carlene? Yeah. Prayer doesn't always remove the cause of trouble, but it gives us the strength to endure the present troublesome situation. As we saw in chapter 1 of James, pray for wisdom. When you're going through stuff, pray for wisdom. Oh, man, pray for wisdom to see the situation from God's point of view. Ask God, like, what's going on here, God? And he, as you pray, he will reveal that to you. At present, we live in a social and cultural world in which we try to eliminate discomfort. That's probably like a one priority in our culture, get rid of the discomfort in our lives. For example, I used to hate going to the movie theaters here, eh? How many? Like those old seats? Yeah. But they got new ones. Oh, man, I love it. You know, no matter where you sit, you can see the screen. I won't go into that story. Yeah. Okay. New seats here in church. Isn't that great? Comfort. I mean, so, you know, I'm all for better seats in church and theaters, but we need to come to a biblical understanding of adversity in our lives and everything else, except for movie theaters and church. But it's needed for us today. We need to understand and have that biblical understanding of adversity. God uses the adversity in our lives in the interest of spiritual preparation and formation. And again, we saw that way back in chapter 1, so you can go back and read that again. And it's a constant theme right throughout James. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to become mature. And when we wait before God in prayer, we allow our soul to grow up, and we begin to see what he is trying to form in us. But, you know, we're just not good at waiting, are we? We're just go, go, go in our society. We're just not good. We're not good at being still before God, unless you did something like one of these guys here this morning. They were very still. Being still before God, hearts open, becoming tender. Yeah. When we make the effort, when we can do that, we catch a glimpse of what God's purpose is in allowing us to experience that affliction. The latter part of verse 13 there, 13b, he says, so are you happy? So we've dealt with some of the troubles and stuff. He says, but if are you happy? Let's sing praises of advice, or sing praises of praise to God. And that's the advice that James gives there. Singing is good. Whether you can carry a tune or not, singing is good. Make a joyful noise if you can't carry a tune. In Colossians 3:16, Paul says, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We see singing throughout Scripture. It's all throughout there. In the Old Testament, there's some really neat stories of armies, they singing on their way to battle. And when they get to the battlefield, the enemy is laid out dead, every last one of them, because they turned on themselves and killed each other. And they show up and they just collect all the plunder for like 3 or 4 days and stuff. Must have been really bad singing. So, in the New Testament, we have in Acts 16, 24 to 34, we read about Paul and Silas, where they were severely beaten for preaching about Jesus. And then they are thrown into the inner chamber of prison and they put in stocks and locked in chains. And then there they were, crying to God, complaining to God all night. Why did you let this happen? We're just standing and preaching. And they, you know. Is that what happened? Oh, you read the story, eh? Yeah, isn't that an exciting story? Yeah, around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. And then suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken and all the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off, not just Paul and Silas. And the result of this praying and singing to God, the salvation of the jailer and his family and probably the other prisoners too. That is what Paul and Silas were all about and we are to be about. That's our mission, seeing people reconciled to God no matter what, brought into a right relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Praise is good when happy, sad, or severely beaten. Verses 14 and 15 in James. James moves now into prayer for when we are sick. This healing prayer is not just for physical healing, but for the whole person, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. He says we are to be all about healing prayer and leave the results with God. Not everyone we pray for will be healed. There is such a thing as called the sacrament of suffering. Don't get into the blame game. When someone's not healed, sometimes, oh, you just don't have enough faith. Don't get into the blame game. Just pray in obedience, pray with confidence, and pray with compassion. There is a time for the elders to pray and anoint for oil, and we do that every communion service that we have once a month. We have a time of prayer for those that are sick to be anointed with oil, and the elders will pray and anoint you with oil. And we try to make to do that every month, because that's still part of what we are as an alliance. We believe in healing as taught in Scripture. So why do we anoint with oil? Well, in James's time, oil was used as a soothing medicine for wounds. And among Christians, it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. James probably had in mind both the medicinal and symbolic properties of oil when he wrote this. It's not that the oil heals, but the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. However, everyone is to pray for each other when sick, as we see in verse 16, the next verse. He says there, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. So there we go. Here in these verses, James links prayer, confession, healing, sin, and forgiveness all together. The Greek word for healing here refers to physical, psychological, and spiritual healing. To the Hebrews, the mind, body, and spirit were all one, and health was a unity. This is a beautiful picture of a spiritual community that James is trying to paint, being vulnerable with each other. And when we're vulnerable with each other, it reduces arrogance, power politics, and dissension. Jesus said, if you want to become great in his kingdom, you need to learn to be what? The servant of all. Learn to be the servant of all. Vulnerability and confession will cool tempers. It helps heal divisions within the church. But there's a note of caution here. This type of vulnerability and confession is done among the saints, not in public. Confession to those who have been affected by or hurt by our words or our behavior is a good thing. Not the words are hurt, but confessing about those things. Asking for forgiveness is usually always healing. Now, asking forgiveness is hard, but it does heal. Amen. The latter part of verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And such a prayer is powerful because the righteous person has already discerned the Lord's leading. Elijah was singled out because his heart was sensitive to God. The point here is that sin hinders our ability to pray. Now, God certainly does hear the prayers of sinners or the sinful, but sin, it dulls our sensitivity to God, and we become less and less in tune with him. The righteous person is in touch with the heart of God. We are to be conduits of God's love. Amen? We're to allow God to flow through us. Sin blocks that flow of love. So, now, if we have been praying when in trouble, praying when sick, praying for each other, then the heart of God would prompt us to pray for a brother or sister who has wandered or been led astray from the truth. We need to be about praying and asking how to reach out to that person who has wandered, that brother or sister in the Lord. We can't sit back and wait for that person to come back on their own. They may be a parent, a child, a physical brother, sister, cousin, grandchild who has wandered away. And James says that it is us, the Christian community in general, who is in charge with mutual care and seeking those who have wandered. And you probably have some names come into your mind already. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18. We have a responsibility to and for each other. Amen? Amen. The one and only command in the new covenant found in John 13:34, he says, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This command of Jesus leads us to ask in this situation, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? Could I go so far as to say that the one who wanders needs to become the object of reconciliation of the church? Paul says in Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Back to John 13:34. So what have we learned? What have we learned here this morning? This is going to be a question and answer now. You guys can respond. And I'm taking notes to see who's the first one to respond. No, I'm just kidding. Love keeps no record of, anyways, yeah. So if you are sick, don't look at the bottom part. If you're sick, ask for prayer. Good. If you are happy, sing. Ah, great. I got your name there, Pearl. If you hurt someone with words or behavior, confess and ask for forgiveness. Yeah, great. Confess and ask for forgiveness that you may be healed. Yeah. If someone has wandered away from the truth, right, pray for them and seek to restore them. Yeah, your words are just the same. So, all right. So, let us pray. Carlene? Let us pray.